May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 470. Death and the grave are doleful themes for sinful mortal worms to sing, except a Saviour's brighter beams dispel the gloom and touch the string. Hymn 470.
Turn this evening to read in the book of the Ecclesiastes and chapter 7. The book of the Ecclesiastes and the 7th chapter. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Say not thou what is the cause that the former days were better than these, for thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defence, and money is a defence. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Consider the work of God. For who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? In the day of prosperity be joyful, but in the day of adversity consider. God also hath set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. Be not righteous overmuch, neither make thyself overwise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this. Yea, also from this withdraw not thine hand. For he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Also take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. All this have I proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. That which is far off and exceeding deep, who can find it out? I applied mine heart to know, and to search, and to seek out wisdom, and the reason of things, and to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. And I find more bitter than death, the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Behold, this have I found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account, which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all those have I not found. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. May the Lord bless unto us the reading of his holy and sacred word, and may he help us to pray. O thou almighty, eternal and holy Lord God, we would fear, Lord, to come unto thee, for thou art almighty and eternal, and we are poor, finite, sinful creatures of this earth. And Lord, there is no goodness in and of ourselves that is acceptable unto thee. But we plead the precious name of Jesus. Lord, we pray, we plead that precious sin-atoning blood. We plead his righteousness wrought out at Calvary. And, O Lord, may be he instead of us is seen now as we approach to thee, our God. We thank thee, Lord, that we can come once more, preserved through thy mercy and through thy loving kindnesses. And we thank thee, Lord, for every desire in our heart that we be found gathered together here in thy name. Oh, do give us, Lord, a true spirit of worship, to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Lord, thou knowest how each one of us has come. Lord, thou knowest those that are bereaved at this time of loved ones. And Lord, we commend them to thee, that their pathway of sadness and sorrow be not untouched by the sweetness of thy presence. O Lord, we pray thou wilt heal the aching hearts. For the loss of loved ones upon this earth, to be seen and touched no more, to be heard no more. But Lord, we do pray that thou wilt make thyself known in the power of the Spirit to the blessing of the soul. Lord, we read how these things, these sad times, shall come. For one generation passeth away, another generation cometh. And Lord, we still are found here upon this earth. And we pray, Lord, that thy goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. Lord, do help us to be much in prayer. Hear the prayers, Lord, of those broken hearts and of those contrite spirits. O Lord, who even sanctify the solemn tidings of the passing from time to eternity of a loved one. Sanctify it, Lord, to the good of other souls. For, Lord, our time upon this earth are numbered. Our days are numbered. And we know not the length thereof. We know not what another day may bring forth. But, O Lord, give within us that good hope through thy grace of eternal life, our pardon sealed, peace with God. Lord, it's the work of thy Spirit. Oh Lord, let thy Spirit come and rule each of our hearts to humbly fall before thee, humbly trusting in thy cross, that alone to be all our glory. And all things else, Lord, in comparison to it, but dung and dross. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt so appear to the bereaved families, the bereaved loved ones, the bereaved chapels and congregations, and Lord, to the bereaved churches. Lord, thou hast taken ministers, church members, faithful members of congregations away at this time. O Lord, what a solemn season this is. But O Lord, hear our prayer, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. Faithful fail from among the children of men, and pour out thy Spirit from on high. And raise up, Lord, many, oh, to live unto thee, to live in love to thee, for thy love to them. Lord, remember the young people. We do commend them to thee. Oh, do work that work of thy grace within their hearts. Lord, may they know the sound of thy voice, the voice of love and mercy to a guilty sinner, that flows from Calvary. Convince, Lord, of sin. Lead to Jesus' blood. And so, Lord, build up thy visible church here upon this earth. Lord, hear and save thee. Lord, thou knowest those that are thine. Oh, may there be many, Lord, each one called by grace, and the knowledge of thy Son set within their heart. And Lord, what we pray for the young people, we pray for our own selves that are older. Oh Lord, let none of us be out of the secret of thy saving love and mercy. Lord, may that love of thine be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost given to us, and where that work has begun, O Lord, still perform it. For there are many doubts and many fears through the tribulations and different scenes of life and the trials of faith. Lord, thou knowest all things. And we thank thee, Lord, thou art a faithful God, faithful that hath promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I am with thee always, even unto the end of the world. Lord, do uphold us, stand by us and help us to stand fast in the knowledge of thy redeeming love. Remember, Lord, thy people here, whenever they meet together. O Lord, grant the portions of thy sacred word to the blessings of their souls. For thou knowest what we have need of before we ask. Be with our friend, Lord, at the desk, giving out the hymns, help him in all his responsibilities, all his duties, all his cares. O Lord, who hear and answer his prayers and the prayers of his fellow deacon. O Lord, who completely heal him at this time. And Lord, we pray for the church. Help to unite them by thy Spirit. Grant them the bond of thy peace. And may they know, Lord, that word of thine, so my Spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. O Lord, do bless church and congregation. Lord, may there be that is done to the honour and glory of thy name. O Lord, do grant in each gathering together here thine approbation. And Lord, that thou wilt supply every need spiritually, to the good of each soul. Lord, may it often be said by each one, it has been good. We've been up to the house of the Lord. Lord, do bless thy word here. It is read and as it is preached. Lord, each one of those thou hast sent to labour in the ministry of thy word, do use them. With a thus saith the Lord. And oh, that word to enter and abide in the heart. Lord, we need thy word to be written on the fleshy tables of our hearts, that we may live thereby, trusting in thee in all things at all times. Lord, committing our way unto thee, for thee to bring to pass that which is for our good. Lord, we are all journeying, and we are reminded again and again that there is an end. O Lord, help us to plead for thy mercy continually, and may our end be everlasting peace. Lord, remember those unable to be here tonight, those who are sick. Lord, do grant thy healing touch. Lord, any are away for whatever the reason, duties, responsibilities. Lord, elsewhere this day, Lord, watch over them and keep them in thy loving, tender care, that they may come again at the appointed time. And Lord, may they know thy blessing. Lord, remember each one in their varied needs and circumstances, the duties, responsibilities of life, families, bringing up of children, in the business, Lord, in every duty. O Lord, do hear the many prayers that are put up to thee for thy help, for thy guidance, Lord, for thy delivering hand, Lord, for thy defence against the enemy. O Lord, we live in solemn days. Lord, the power of ungodliness has risen so much in these last few years. And Lord, physically and spiritually, Lord, the Christian faith is being threatened. Lord, there's the extremist of the Islamic faith and the jihadists. O Lord, do defend us from their evil intents. Give wisdom, Lord, to our security forces, Lord, that they may identify those who would bring about atrocities and death and injury. Lord, we pray thou would reveal those who would do such things, that they can be prevented from their evil intents. We thank thee, Lord, where this has taken place already. Oh, do let still thy mercy come. And Lord, defend us from the atheist and the humanist and all those, Lord, that hate thy name and would seek to remove thy name from the public place, from all that is done openly in our land, the practice of the Christian faith. And many have been affected, Lord, already thereby. Oh, Lord, we pray thou wilt overturn their intents and bring their desires to nothing. Lord, we are not worthy of the least of thy mercies, but we need, Lord, thy mercy. In thy wrath, remember mercy. We are guilty sinners. Oh, Lord, how weak we are in our serving of thee. Lord, if it is thy will and thou doth permit these things to continue that threaten us, oh, may it bring us more humbly to thy feet, to cry more earnestly for thy mercy, for thine appearing, that thou mayest have all the honour and all the glory. Then deliver us, Lord, from all that is against us. Hear us, Lord, in all these things. Forgive our poor cries. O Lord, thou knowest the groanings of our hearts, which cannot be uttered. Hear those groans this night, and as we further sing thy praises and turn to thy holy word, Lord, may we know the power of thy Spirit amongst us, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 895. Awful is thy threatening, Lord. Let me mark the solemn word. What the righteous ruler saith, wages due to sin is death. Hymn 895.
Thank you.
complete dependence upon our Lord, that he may open up to us the sacred truth of his holy word and grant application of it to each one of our souls. And that's your prayerful attention to the book of the Ecclesiastes, chapter 8 and verse 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 12. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. The book of the Ecclesiastes, chapter 8 and verse 12. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. Of recent days and weeks and months, we have been solemnly reminded how temporal are our lives upon this earth. We have seen just in recent weeks, just from amongst our own churches, one and another taken from time into eternity. And as we look past year, oh, we've seen many taken, some are ministers of the gospel, are deacons of office in the church, church members, faithful members of congregations, loved ones of dear families. And dear friends, how much we should lay this to our hearts. Each of us shall one day take a last breath, unless the Lord Jesus comes in the second coming first of all. But then there will be a last breath, won't there? When time shall be no more. And as we journey through life, for the most part, we do not consider these things. And the reason for that is our hearts are deceitful above all things, and they're desperately wicked. It's an evidence of Satan, the spirit of evil that is within us. What did Satan say to Eve in the Garden of Eden when he tempted her to disobey the word of God? He said, "Thou shalt not die." What a liar he is. And we can consider that daily, in effect, particularly in our younger days. We expect, as it were, to be here forever. We make our plans, we make our schemes. And dear friends, we have to make plans, we have to make schemes. We have to consider various things. We have to fulfil our duties, our responsibilities. We have to labour for our food and for all possessions that we have need of upon this earth. And that labouring is because of sin. The judgment upon Adam. That by the sweat of his face would he eat bread. And all the hindrances that would arise to him on account of sin. In that manual labour on the land, there were going to be the thorns and the thistles that would rise up. He would have to continually contend with. And the woman to have great labour and sorrow in childbearing. Dear friends, we read, she shall be saved in childbearing. Oh, what a mercy to consider there. The word of God and his mercy. And also in all that we possess, through the labours of our hands. The preacher here, Solomon, the son of David, says we are to eat and drink and enjoy the good of all our labour. It is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. Oh, how many providential mercies we do enjoy, don't we? Let us ever be thankful. Knowing the source, the root of everything that we possess, the sovereign goodness of God. For even when we consider the many benefits we have today in the many aids and technologies to make things so easy to what it once was, dear friends, they're all elements that were there at the time of creation. It's only an application of what God has given. And man in his wisdom has been permitted to find them and use them. It's the gift of God. Oh, let us ever be truly thankful for that which we have. But Solomon, in his writings here in this book of Ecclesiastes, is very solemn. All these things which we experience upon this earth for the good of our bodies and the needs of our bodies, all of them are vanity. He says he's seeking out through wisdom to find all things concerning mankind in the flesh upon this earth. And he gives a conclusion at the very beginning, doesn't he? Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labour which he taketh under the sun? He brought nothing into the world. He shall carry nothing out. All is vanity. One generation passeth away, another generation cometh. And so we find it, and so we prove it, don't we? For he solemnly declares that whilst there's a time and a purpose for all things under the sun, yes, a time to be born, a time to die, there's a time for those many things he lists between those two events. There's a time for all things, isn't there, whilst we're here upon earth, as the Lord may permit, and the Lord may grant us his leading and guiding. But he begins, a time to be born and a time to die. There is one event that happens to all. All go to one place. Now, dear friends, Solomon is very, very solemn when he considers that all go to one place. All are of the dust and all turn to dust again. He says, oh, that man might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast. Dear friends, what a solemn consideration that is. Doesn't the psalmist say how God hath given man, the dominance over all his creation? What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angel, and hast crowned him with honour and glory and honour. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. And yet we all go to one place. As they die, so do we die. That which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. All go to one place, ashes to ashes, and dust to dust. Dear friends, this doesn't tell us at all, does it? That you and I have got any goodness in and of ourselves. We're no better than a beast. The difference is, dear friends, in our spirit. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? We're all appointed to die. It speaks of the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth. In other words, that's the end of the spirit of life in a beast. The spirit of life in a beast is its instinct. The spirit of life in a beast is for its food, for its survival, for its habitation, and for its offspring. So it can continue on the earthly frenzy. It doesn't go beyond that, does it? And when they die in the flesh, that spirit dies with them. But what about the spirit of man? God breathed into man a living soul. And dear friends, God gave to man his word. He gave his word to Adam, he gave it to Eve. That which they were to do, and they were to obey his commands. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Not just only the flesh. We read of a second death. Not just the death of the body, but the death of the soul. Dear friends, these are solemn things which affect us each. Adam and Eve sinned against God. And so upon them came death. And yes, through them the death of all creatures. And it's appointed now unto man once to die, because we are all sinners. Oh, did you notice what we read in this chapter tonight, in chapter 7? There is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's not one man, one person, that sinneth not. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, after that the judgment. And that judgment between eternal life and eternal death, the damnation of the soul. Dear friends, this is before us each, and we are constantly reminded that that time will come. Solemnly read of John's vision in his revelation, which the Holy Spirit has permitted him to write here for us. That in that day of judgment, when all dead shall rise, the just and the unjust, the sea shall give up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works set up against the righteous law, the righteous word of God. All his commands, all his statutes, all his precepts. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Against what were they judged? I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Those books which contained all their works. Oh, dear friends, what a solemn day that is, isn't it? When all our deeds, all our works, thoughts, words and deeds will be revealed in the day of judgment. And we shall be found guilty before a holy God. But we read there of another book. A book that was also opened. And if a person's name was found there, they were delivered from the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This book of life. Oh, dear friends, what a solemn scene that would be, isn't it? If you and I stood there before a holy God on the day of judgment and all our sins was listed out where we failed and come short of the glory of God, and then the question asked, is this name found in the other book? And there's silence. Nothing is said. And the judgment comes, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Though a sinner, do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. Oh, dear friends, what a direct link there is here, isn't there? Between the forgiveness of sins, one's name, found in the Lamb's Book of Life, and the fear of God within us. Is the fear of God, dear friends, within us? Is it within you? No matter what your age, younger and older, do we fear God? By our own nature, we do not, do we? We may fear man, we do fear man. We fear man who can do us much injury and much hurt, can even kill us. And Jesus says, fear not him who can kill the body, but after that has nothing else that he can do. But I tell thee whom you shall fear, fear God, whom after having killed the body can also kill the soul in hell. What is this fear of the Lord, the fear of God? Well, dear friends, the fear of God is directly linked to the knowledge of sin. Because it's through the knowledge of sin we fear that our names may not be found in that book of life. And we have to be awakened, we have to be quickened, we have to be made sensible to what we are in our flesh. That we are not just, we are not righteous before a holy God, but we are all as an unclean thing. Now, dear friends, that will make us tremble. And it's the work of God Himself to put that trembling frame for sin within our heart. The book of Job is a solemn book, isn't it? That man Elihu, who spoke after all the others had spoken, who spoke how the Lord causeth things to come. He causeth it to come, whether for correction or for his land or for mercy. He's speaking there predominantly about that which man cannot control, particularly the weather. Oh, what a parable. Fair weather cometh out of the north, which God is with God in terrible majesty. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Men do therefore fear him. He respecteth not any that are wise of heart. Oh, how our hearts can lift us up as if we know all things that we have need of in this our lives, and to prosper thereby, which we can do. But all is vanity concerning the soul. How we need the Lord to come, cause things to come, to convince us of sin. Dear friends, that's the work of His Spirit, isn't it? And how His Spirit can appear in the circumstances of our lives which the Lord may bring upon us to teach us, oh, what we are truly in our nature, our fallen nature. Reading just at home recently of Joseph's brothers, when they fell before him, oh, that which Joseph worked in their lives at the time of the famine, to bring them humbly to his feet. How they feared Joseph, didn't they? How they feared that man, knowing not that it was Joseph. Dear friends, Joseph dealt with those brothers as he dealt with no other man. It was with loving kindness he was drawing them to his feet, that he may have mercy upon them. A lovely word, isn't it, in the psalm, is it 130? Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. That thou mayest be feared. Dear friends, it's a great fear if we are not forgiven of God. Dear friends, that would put within us the fear of death if we know not forgiveness of God. Oh, we shall tremble at His word. And what a mercy if the Lord brings us to tremble at His word. That will make us cry out of the depths. Give me Christ or else I die. Oh, there's a precious promise there, isn't it? To this man will I look. To him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Dear friend, that's the fear of God. It's His work. He causes it to come. He brings it to pass. He performeth the thing that is appointed for me. And many such things are with him. Dear friends, if you're brought into the fear of the Lord, do bless him for it. Because in the beginning of, well, we read it, don't we? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Not earthly wisdom, but to be made wise unto salvation. The wisdom that is in the work of God through Christ Jesus, his only begotten Son. Wisdom to see and to know and to understand that through that shed blood, his death on Calvary's cross, there is remission of sin. And that work of the Holy Ghost to put within you by faith, oh, that desire to believe on him who has perished. Not perished completely, but gave up his life there on Calvary's cross, that he may take it again, and now lives eternally in glory, the first fruits of all them that's left. That when we come to our time, that solemn time when we must depart from time for eternity, we have hope that it is well with our soul. Well with our soul. Dear friends, this is the sinner's hope. It's his only hope, isn't it? What a sweet truth we have here in this text. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yes, he sins more and more. Yet I know, surely, I know that it shall be well with them that fear God. Because they have submitted to his righteousness. They have none of their own. It's all been taken away. All their own goodness. All their own esteem. They are worthless in the eyes of an almighty God, and they know it. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Dear friends, we have some expressions, don't we, in the scriptures, of those who are brought into a deep fear of God. We think of that thief dying alongside Jesus at Calvary. Dear friends, he feared to die without the knowledge of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that work of the Spirit within him that caused him to cry, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He dare not die without the knowledge that that death of him of whom he said, this man hath done nothing amiss. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That was where he longed to be. He deserved everything what he was receiving. He deserved to die. He deserved the agony of the cross. He was a great sinner. But in this man, there was yet hope of eternal life. Remember me. Oh, that heartfelt cry from the depths. Dear friends, he wasn't taught that from a book, was he? That wasn't head knowledge. That was the teaching of the Holy Ghost. And dear friends, it's that teaching of the Holy Ghost which will make us cry in such a way and manner as that. And dear friends, we're not to say, oh well, we'll wait then until we're dying. Who knows what the circumstances will be. publican had to leave his work, didn't he? He had to leave the seat of custom. Dear friends, it was a fear of the Lord that he was not merciful to him, that he could be struck down at any time and he would perish in his sins, that drew him to the temple, beating upon his breast, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." The fear of the Lord, beginning of wisdom, beginning of knowledge. Oh, that man went down to his house justified. Dear friends, he'd been made wise unto salvation, hadn't he? If he went down to his house justified, dear friends, he knew now what it was to be healed in his soul. The blood of bulls and goats and all of the Jewish faith, that didn't satisfy him. And oh, what a guilty sinner he was. But the fear of the Lord, and through the fear of the Lord, that fear of death, that fear of departing life without the knowledge of his pardon sealed, drew him to the footstool of mercy. Dear friends, I just mean to say he was sinless all the rest of his life. You see, the scripture doesn't say that we have hope of eternal life because we are sinless. In our deeds and in our actions upon this earth. But the fear of the Lord because we are sinners. The Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, he was full of his own righteousness. And we might say everything went well for him through all the early years of his life. Oh, what a youthful zeal he had when he was in Jerusalem. But when the Lord appeared, and he went into Damascus blind through that great light which had shone, and he trembled through the voice of Christ which he had heard. Dear friends, we find in that Damascus place in the city, in the street called Straight, there he prayeth. There he prayeth. What was making him pray? The fear of the Lord, whom he transgressed, whom he persecuted, whom he'd all done all manner of sin against. He was worthy to die, worthy to be cast into an eternal hellfire. Behold, he prayed. Dear friends, these are the evidences of the fear of the Lord. And dear friends, where there's an evidence of the fear of the Lord, that it's only through his mercy, in the shed blood of Jesus Christ given to pay the price for sin, it's only through that and that we come, that fear, that lest, oh, what if my name be left out? When the Lord shall call for us to enter eternity. The object is, isn't it, of our first desire? Jesus, crucified for me. The fear of the Lord. The evidence, that prayer. That earnest cry. Oh, Lord, save me. May I be a sinner saved by grace. Show me that lovely man that rules the courts of bliss. Reveal Christ in me, the hope of glory. Give me that joy of which we read of, that surpasses all the depths and the fear of eternal damnation. The precious promises that are in Christ Jesus, which are yea and amen. Oh, may all these things be mine. Grant me that sweet assurance that it is well with my soul. Dear friends, are these your cries as you carry on through life? Or are your daily duties, your daily cares, your earthly earthly ambitions? Are they crowding in day by day, night by night, and you think nothing of these things? Oh, the Lord have mercy upon you. Jesus said of Mary, didn't he? Mary hath chosen that good thing which shall not be taken away from her. She was drawn to sit at Jesus' feet. She'd forgotten her duties and responsibilities of the time because the Lord was there. She needed him more than all those other things. Jesus was the one thing needful. And we think of the Song of Solomon, where the beloved one there spoke of her beloved bridegroom, the chiefest amongst 10,000, the altogether lovely. Dear friends, have you got 10,000 loves in this world? We do have our loves in this world, don't we? Of course we do. There's many things we have to be thankful for. And as we've said, so many things, the gift of God, everything, the gift of God. But do we love the gift more than the giver? My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And dear friends, what we need are not only those things providential whilst we're here upon the earth. We need those things essentially that are spiritual. The chiefest among 10,000, the altogether lovely. Dear friends, there's a reverent, godly fear here, isn't there? To ever be found one with Jesus, eternally one. Oh, sweet those moments, rich in blessing, which before the cross are spent. You know, the Apostle Paul was never delivered from being a sinner, was he? And neither will you, and neither will I. Did I not read it when I was here last? I cannot recall now. I don't keep a record of what I've preached on. But in Romans chapter 7, he declares that the good he would, he did not. And the evil that he would not, that he still did. In his flesh there dwelt no good thing. Oh, what a wretched man he was. He was a sinner. He was the chief of sinners. And dear friends, in his thoughts, in his words, in his deeds, he would never have claimed that he was sinless. But though a sinner do evil 100 times, and do it 100 times again and again, dear friends, what is the fear of the Lord within a sinner? The fear of the Lord, dear friends, is to depart from evil. That's his desire. That's why Paul said, oh, the evil that I would, not that I do. Dear friends, he wanted to depart from evil. He wanted to serve the living God. That's the fruit of the fear of the Lord, because it's of the Spirit of God. And when he did evil, what a grief it was to him. That's another fruit, you know, of the Spirit, isn't it? Through the fear of the Lord. You grieve over sin because it's contrary now to your desire. You hate the things of sin and iniquity. You hate to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. But you find you cannot deliver yourselves from such a path. Oh, in a moment, something occurs each day. It's perhaps happened today. And oh, that anger, that hasty word, that evil desire, that ungodly intent, it's all there, isn't it? And perhaps it sometimes it comes out physically. And you do that which you should not do. Oh, we read here, didn't we, about not hasting to be angry, but to have patience. Dear friends, that's not with us naturally when things suddenly rise against us, is it? And we see it. Now the Lord knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. And he hath performed that work to cleanse us from all sin. Precious work. The sin-atoning blood of Jesus. And oh, to be kept, sheltering beneath that shed blood, as the Israelites did of old in Egypt. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Dear friends, in the heart of one who fears God, there's nothing more precious than the blood of Christ that cleanseth from all sin, to plead again and again and again at the mercy seat. Oh, there's many ventures to the throne of grace, isn't there? And there we glorify him. There's no glory in self. We are poor, we are weak, we are undone, we are sinners. And there we plead for mercy, again and again and again. And oh, dear friends, it's on this ground we go there again and again and again, isn't it? That though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before. There's some lovely promises to those who fear God. You know, those who fear God, they may not be great in their open expressions. They may be quite withdrawn within themselves through the fear. They need many a fear not, don't they? You know, those who fear God have many fears. Lest because of their continued iniquity within their heart, so deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, they fear they will fall from the grace of God. They fear that the Lord will cast them out. Paul was like that. He feared that he would be a castaway. Therefore we find in the scriptures, don't we, these many fear nots. I have redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name, thou art mine. And dear friends, those that fear God, because of these fear nots that are given to them, there are many gracious promises, aren't there? Just one or two in closing comes to me in the Psalms. We think of that Psalm 103 of David. How he refers again and again to those that fear God. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. His mercy. Dear friends, we dare not die without his mercy, had we? And it's from everlasting to everlasting. It shall never pass away, because it's sure and steadfast through the work of Christ. The power of that sin atoning blood. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knows what you have need of. He'll lead you forth by the right way. Why, down to hoar hairs will I carry thee. Dear friends, the Lord is gracious, ever gracious to those that are his. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are but dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. The place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is still there, from everlasting to everlasting. And they die in peace. Psalm 115 speaks of those various ones of this life who have different calls. It speaks of Israel, it speaks of Aaron, it speaks of the great, it speaks of the small. And it tells of the Lord's blessing and mercy upon them all. O house of Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. Dear friends, you might not feel to be much at all, but is the fear of the Lord within you? Are those evidences I've tried poorly to outline yours? Do you fear, to perish from this earth without a hope in Christ? Does he call you to cry for mercy? Dear friends, you're not very great, are you? You perhaps think of yourself the poorest and the weakest and the vilest sinner upon this earth. But the Lord blesses those that fear. Oh, how great is his goodness that he has laid up for them that fear him. There's one or two exhortations to those that fear the Lord. Like they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Now some people don't find they can. They fear lest they should presume. And dear friends, we are not to judge. A person may stay silent all their life, but the evidence within, is it there? The fear of the Lord. Dear friends, that's the greatest gift that can be bestowed upon us. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of the world being made wise unto salvation. It's the beginning of where Christ comes to grant the fullness of his blessing to those that fear him. Because they walk tenderly upon this earth. They walk in the fear of the Lord. They fear lest they should go astray. They fear lest they should bring dishonour upon his name. Yes, they love him because he hath first loved them. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Now, dear friends, the question is, what are we? Have we a hope in this mercy? Have we a hope in this grace of God? The evidences we see round about us, that one day we shall depart time for eternity. That we should consider our latter end. Shall we die in the fear of the Lord? May this word search us. May it be a comfort to us. May it be a help and strengthening to us. Though a sinner, which we are, do evil 100 times, which we do more than that, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. In fact, we've had the evidence of late, haven't we, of many that fear God, and their end has been everlasting peace. How true is the word of God. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Timothy Parish will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Pocock on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 303. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly while the raging billows roll. while the tempest still is high. Hide me, O my Saviour, hide, till the storm of life is past. Safe into the haven guide, O receive my soul at last. Hymn 303.
Thank you.
O Lord, do own and bless thine own word amongst us, and do pardon everything that thy holy eye has seen amiss. Put within us each, Lord, thy tender fear. Though we be nothing, may Christ be all and in all. Go before, Lord, those who are bereaved of loved ones. And, Lord, in the days to come, may thy presence be known and felt sweetly in each sinner's heart. Hear the prayer, Lord, we have just finally sung. Be with us as we separate. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost to abide with us, now and forevermore. Amen.